Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, we've got a jam-packed, very important broadcast lined up for you today. It is 8-8-11, August 8th, 2011. We're going to be live for at least the next 3 hours. A military source who's given us a lot of really good information over the years that integrates in with other information we're getting from other sources will be popping in for about 10, 15 minutes at the bottom of the hour. Colonel Six, he's been a caller to the show and made a lot of predictions here that have come true. So he's going to be popping in with the latest on the supposed group of SEAL Team Six people being killed a few days ago. And all of the suspicious circumstances surrounding that. Another reported helicopter crash today over in Afghanistan. Webster Griffin Tarpley will be joining us to break down the S&P downgrade of the U.S. Treasuries and the credit rating of the United States. That's now triggering downgrades, of course, at the state level and local level, as we told you it would. We've been positioned for decades into total bankruptcy. The Federal Reserve first used us as a base of operations to give them military and political muscle globally. Now they're killing the golden goose because they're done with us. It's a scorched earth policy, bringing us deeper into financial tyranny. And then we have Nomi Prinz, who, of course, herself was a high-level banker in her own right. And she's going to be joining us to go over the latest developments in the economy. And then, of course, Dr. Steve Pachinik is going to be coming on because I want to get his view on the Navy SEAL situation. I don't know what his views are going to be, just like I didn't know what his view would be when I called him up to get him on about the Norway shooting, even though some of you disagree with his views. And I think overall, I don't concur with everything he's saying. When I call up a guest to get the perspective, I don't call up and say, what's your view? And then if they don't agree with me, well, I'm just not going to have you on now. I have them on to genuinely see what they have to say. And so you can see what they have to say. And so we can debate it and discuss it. That's why sometimes you'll see divergent views and ideas here. This is not a radio show where we just continually read from some same sheet of music, kind of like a neocon radio or mainline liberal radio, where it's just the same show day after day, same ideas, reading from the same sheet of music, like it's some type of mantra or a yogi chant. That's not happening here on this transmission. We've got some other good news in all the bad news. Al Gore talked to the Aspen Institute, big globalist think tank, and it was documented by press that was allowed in that he completely blew up and said that their whole fraud of global carbon taxes and the rest of it is basically destroyed. And you've got the Rasmussen poll out last week where 69% of Americans believe scientists have been paid to basically lie. Well, they've been caught lying under government funding. So very excited, exciting news there from Mark Moreno at Climate Depot. That's up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And I want to get Mark on later in the week if we can to go over some of that, because it shows no matter how big these frauds are, and they're going to keep going ahead with it, but it's limping, it's on fire, it's bleeding out. But a dead elephant being dropped on you can still take you out. So they're not going to stop, but we're definitely slowing them down and having victories. We can do this on the war on terror fraud. We can do this when they tried to push torture and get us to accept torture as good. Nobody really bought it, so they had to stop that, at least on the surface. The Federal Reserve is incredibly unpopular. Over 80% in most polls wanted abolished or at least audited. We're winning the info war, as Hillary Clinton had to admit with horror. Free humanity worldwide is waking up. We're having a huge effect. And there's so many other victories we're having. But let me get into the hardcore news, the economic news, straight ahead on the other side and what this downgrade means right here on the one, the only GCN Radio Network. I'm Alex Jones. We'll be right back. We're simulcasting the radio at PrisonPlanet.tv.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Thank you for joining us today. It, of course, is 8-8-11, the eighth day of August 2011. We're going to be live here today for the next 3 hours. We have Colonel Six, one of our good military sources, joining us to give us the inside scoop. He's talked to some of the family members of the dead SEAL team people on what they believe is going on with the mysterious shoot down in Afghanistan over the weekend. Also, Webster Griffin Tarpley, economist, will be joining us to analyze the controlled demolition of the economy. Naomi Prinz, she former managing director at Goldman Sachs, she's going to be joining us to blow the whistle from the inside. And Dr. Steve Pachinik on geopolitical things that are unfolding. And, of course, also the SEAL team situation, all part of the ongoing Osama bin Laden fable. So that is all coming up today. Four guests for you on this Monday edition. Obviously, we're going to be getting into the huge developments with the debt downgrade. Also, the Daily Mail has the report. So does Infowars.com. In fact, Kurt Nimmo did a report this morning and that gives you even more of the background history of all of this. In fact, here's Kurt Nimmo's headline. Former First Lady Jackie Fingers Johnson and Texan tycoons and JFK assassination. We have LBJ's former lawyer coming out, who we interviewed, what, 6-7 years ago and exposing it. The father of the, who became later the White House press spokesman, McClellan. We also, of course, had the deathbed confession of E. Howard Hunt, saying that as high as the orders went in his chain of command, that it was LBJ that gave the orders. That doesn't mean LBJ was the complete boss, but obviously the CIA being ordered by the president, and they would use the guy that had run hit teams in scores of other third world and first world nations. Of course, they would use their best field commander, E. Howard Hunt. But they've now released the tapes early, which was very smart to do. Explosive Jackie O tapes reveal how she believed Lyndon B. Johnson killed JFK and had an affair with movie star. And that's the report out of the Daily Mail. 2007, an ailing former CIA operative, E. Howard Hunt, and former president said former president Lyndon B. Johnson was directly connected to the JFK assassination and its cover-ups. Others close to Johnson also indicated the Texan was complicit in the assassination. Yeah, I've interviewed Madeleine Duncan Brown, who was his admitted mistress for decades and who she had an illegitimate son by. Continues, who died quickly of cancer, by the way. The former first lady, the late Jackie Kennedy, and also believed Johnson and a cabal of Texas tycoons were involved in the assassination of her husband, according to a report posted today in the Daily Mail. Secret tapes recorded by historian Arthur Schlesinger, the icon, soon after the assassination reveal the widow's beliefs that the vice president had colluded with Southern businessmen to kill Kennedy in Dallas on November 22nd, 1963. Lee Harvey Oswald was part of a larger conspiracy, she said. And that information is now coming out. We have the rest of the report at Infowars.com. Former First Lady Jackie Fingers Johnson and Texas tycoons in JFK assassination. And, of course, the Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the black ops liaison with the CIA, of course, also wrote a book detailing that it was exactly those groups with the military-industrial complex that did kill JFK, who'd signed an executive order to pull us, to begin pulling troops out of Vietnam, to begin abolishing the private Federal Reserve and to issue Lincoln greenbacks. He did a bunch of other things, and they said, well, we're just going to kill you. He also went after the mafia. He went after everybody. I'm not even saying that JFK was an angel or that Bobby was an angel, but the facts are certainly now beginning to come out on that front. But Colonel Six, Webster Tarpley, Naomi Prinz, Dr. Steve Pachinik, they're all coming up today here in the special broadcast. Okay. It's one thing to know that if you lay on the railroad tracks and the 5 o'clock train comes by, there's a good chance that the train isn't going to have time to stop and run over you. It's another thing to actually see the country run over by the train. And that has now happened. And the country can still be rescued. It can still be salvaged. But it's going to take identifying the culprits of the pickle that we're in. We are going into planned, controlled receivership and demolition. Now, our economic experts said this in 99 on the show when they got rid of the Glass-Steagall Act, when the trillions, thousands of trillions now in derivatives were sold to the world, when your pension funds and your government investments and your private investments were all tied to it through duplicitous fraud by the six big megabanks. And just as you've seen in Greece, just as you've seen in Ireland, just as you've seen in many other countries, the very same players, very same families, very same banks have positioned this. I mean, you don't sell this fraud and then not have the politicians in your pocket or you go to jail. But by getting their people in the last few decades into all the regulatory positions in European and the U.S. and Canada, Australia, New Zealand, it's all the same. By getting their politicians into power and their former employees in as finance ministers of every major government, England, Ireland, Scotland, Germany, France, Greece, it's all J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, and a few others. And, of course, all of those banks heavily Rothschild-owned. N.M. Rothschild heavily involved as well. But overall, there's less than 10 major players, and they're all interconnected, and there's six big horsemen that are up front, and then a few spinoffs. This is economic warfare. We are being conquered. They've sold you that we're going into this implosion because of $14.5 trillion of debt. Well, depending on whose numbers you look at, whether it's Bloomberg's $27 trillion, we haven't gotten new numbers in a year, or the latest congressional reports where they finally admitted, okay, $16 trillion to foreign and private banks. $16 trillion, $27 trillion, whatever. The point is, there's your entire national deficit right there. Now, they're telling us raise taxes, cut benefits, and that will fix the global too-big-to-fail crisis, which is $1.5 quadrillion. And I know I beat this horse every day because it's the same problem it was yesterday and last month and a year ago. It is mathematically impossible to pay it back, A. B, we don't owe it. And C, the very fraudsters that have positioned us into this situation, the very fraudsters that have positioned us are now posing as our saviors. And it's either us or them. So we're reaching the critical juncture. They had to have the, quote, debt deal, which had nothing to do with raising the debt limit, a routine operation, to smokescreen that the deal itself was the big issue. And that's in the news today, that I'm going to get to the reports where the bankers are bragging that they hid this thing in plain view and that it's a total takeover. And they're setting up a new Marshall Plan domestic receivership bank to pose as the saviors through the rural councils and the rest of it to take over the towns, the cities, the counties, the states that are now having their debt downgraded as well. Exactly as we told you. Now, remember, in 2002, it's not hard to tell you this. It's not a crystal ball. The IMF World Bank documents, 2,000-plus pages, got leaked right at the time Joseph Stiglitz left. Magically, he says he didn't leak them and then giggles. The Nobel Prize winner for economics. Right when those documents got released, the BBC, Greg Palast, and others reported they are imploding the third world by design, economic hitmen. They're going to do it in the West next. And so for 11 years, I have known the plan. I have warned you. I've done everything I could. It's not enough for these monopoly men to create unlimited trillions that for themselves they get to buy up. They infect all the other instruments, financial instruments, so they can destroy the economy, then they're flush with the fiat instruments and can buy it all up. This is war against the middle class. I saw a bumper sticker this morning that said, I'm glad at least the war on the middle class is going well. You know, or at least the war on the middle class is going well. Now, here is the financial news. You know, gold's over 1,700. Even though we're in a depression in the real economy with inflation laid on top of it, it's so bad, the inflation's so bad, that even though the system is trying to use a depression in the real economy to hide the massive inflation in the fiat economy, in the parasite economy, gas is exploding, food is exploding, silver, gold, every commodity is going up, 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 up. But because the White House tells you there's no inflation, everything's fine. The Washington Times, Democrats seek to pin credit downgrade on Tea Party, and they go over what I covered yesterday, the talking point in the AP, the NBC's Meet the Press, all of them. It was everywhere. As we told you they would do, they're saying now it's not the Federal Reserve, it's not Goldman Sachs, it's not the thousand-plus trillion in garbage they created, it's not the welfare state, it's not the military-industrial complex with trillions a year, it's none of that. It's the Tea Party. And the Tea Party is led by a bunch of establishment Republicans, but they began under the Ron Paul movement and do want to get rid of the Federal Reserve, are pro-Second Amendment, and do want to cut the New World Order down to size. So you are going to be scapegoated for the financial system and the terror attacks they're going to stage. And you can see all the scripting there. When we come back, dollar to be discarded by world, China rating agency said. China tells U.S. good old days of borrowing are over, talking to us like they're our boss, and they are our boss. They're the muscle for the bankers. We're going to break it all down straight ahead and what the default means. This is only the beginning.
Well, I'm not the kind of kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a nine, so fine. I've been on fire with Sally Field, gone fast with a girl named...
Okay, Bo. We're back live here.
And somehow they just don't end up...
I want line. Listeners to...
It's a death-defying...
Listen to me very carefully.
I take my...
And let this really sink in. Really sink in. When I get up here and I say that the establishment plans a completely post-industrial, absolutely bankrupt, third world situation with an extremely predatory police state class, that's the only good jobs you're going to be getting in America, is being a government predator. They plan on cutting off the resources, they've stated it, and then having most of the major scholarships and job opportunities be in domestic arrest, torture, you name it. This is a planned conversion of our economy. This isn't just some third world dictator robbing the country, shelling out to foreign banks, and looting resources. That's bad enough. This is a ruling elite, a ruling class of social engineers who have written countless white papers that we've covered and linked to, at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, who have stated their plan to absolutely bankrupt you. You see, in the third world, most people are rural still and are still able to basically survive. We are in an industrialized system that is having its industrial capacity removed and its service capacity removed, and then we're living in an infrastructure built with high energy use outlays built into it, with a totally spoiled, unself-sufficient population, on average, decadent beyond belief. And most of these decadent people are going to turn into the equivalent of vicious, political, ringwraith, vampire, Nosferatu, Nazi-like zombies. They will do whatever they're told by the bankers to get their credit card working again. And they're going to be pointed at those of us that know that this is a designed program. The social engineers are going to stage terror attacks and blame the Tea Party and real conservatives and returning veterans, because we're the people who understand what the New World Order is. Does that mean the whole Tea Party's perfect? No, the globalists attack it to try to infiltrate it and steer it away. But the real Tea Party that sits within the Republican Dick Armey Tea Party is under attack. Now, we're going to cover all of the financial angles of this in great detail with Nomi Prinz, Webster Tarpley, and others today. But so many people said, I don't care if we lose our credit rating. How does that affect me? How does the credit of the U.S. matter to me? Or, oh, you know, let the debt limit not go up. Well, if you don't let it go up, you're destroyed. If you do let it go up, you're destroyed. Because we've been signed on to an impossible amount of debt that we don't owe. This is bondage. They're saying, here's this giant ball and chain. Now connect it to your leg and you'll be free. You've got to get rid of the bankers, the globalists, the inner coterie. Not your local bank, but the big boys, the Warren Buffetts, the David Rockefellers, the Lord Rothschilds. They sit around bragging. Now, the good news is their carbon tax is in trouble. That's what they plan to fund this thing. So now they're shifting to global VAT and Tobin taxes on money transfers and wellhead taxes on oil. So the good news is we can discredit and expose these people if we have the fighting spirit. And that means every one of you has got to get the word out like your life depends on it. And I don't care what bumper stickers you get, but you need to get them on your car. It starts with something small. You need to call into talk radio today. And I don't mean my show. I mean some mainline dumbbell show because they're all peer pressure driven. Enough of you call, they'll start getting religion, which they're starting to do. You need to call Congress, not that they don't know they're criminals, but to let them know you know they're criminals. You've got to call the members of the new super Congress they're getting ready to announce and let them know that you see them and know who they are and know what they stand for. You need to get a buzz going, even greater than it is now, that the problem isn't Obama, even though it's fun to hate him, and the problem isn't Boehner, even though it's fun to hate him. They're both disgusting political prostitute liars. They're, though, just puppets. I'm not going after Zeb Dietrich, and I'm not going after some SS colonel. I'm going after the Hitler. I'm going after the bankers, the head of the thing. I'm not going after some low-level Soviet. I'm going after Stalin. Identify the Federal Reserve. It's us or them. Now, I'm going to tell you what this debt rating situation means to the states and your local city when we get back.
This is our land. These are our people, the workers, the strivers, the builders. These are our people. Who are they? They are the dark armies, the dark murdering armies whose only honor is atrocity.
The answer to 1984. Is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back live. We're getting a lot of intel from people in the military, folks known to this operation, others unknown. Some of the sources have been proven accurate time and time again. That this is a very, very suspicious with the SEAL team. And we're going to be getting into more of that in just a moment. But briefly, getting back a little bit into the financial news that we'll spend the balance of the broadcast on today after we get into the Navy SEAL situation. As expected, here's the Washington Times. Democrats seek to pin credit downgrade on Tea Party. Well, actually, the Tea Party wanted some real cuts, and that didn't end up happening. And I told you last week when Mitch McConnell, Mr. Super Congress, the globalist Republican, came out and said, hey, this is a victory for the Tea Party. That's like hanging an albatross around your neck. That's like giving you credit for what Jeffrey Dahmer did. And so that was the frame up. And now they were all over the Sunday news shows everywhere. I got scores of emails saying, hope you're glad, Alex, we've lost our credit rating. We lost our credit rating in reality a decade ago. This country has had a private banking cartel running it into the ground since 1913. And they've positioned us now to fully bankrupt the states, the counties, the cities, the federal government. So we can go under receivership. That's why there's always unlimited, you know, millions of dollars for studies with shrimp on treadmills and bridges to nowhere. It's all about bankrupting this country while giving themselves the contracts. So they transfer the money to themselves on the front end with the contracts and the insider sweetheart deals. And then when you go belly up, they loan you your bailout money back to you at a higher interest rate. And of course, they're now, I told you weeks ago, I said, we're going to lose the credit downgrade in the next few months. Then we'll start going from AAA to AA plus to AA, right down to C. They're gutting this country. And they're just testing, blaming it on the American people, getting you to buy into the guilt and blaming their enemy, libertarian, conservative, constitutionalist. That's the only group that halfway knows what's going on. Who doesn't like the Federal Reserve, who wants the Second Amendment, who wants national sovereignty. The system loves the well-meaning, bleeding-heart Democrats that believe that polar bears can't swim and Al Gore loves them. They absolutely love people that want to live on government assistance and are basically hopeless because then they can give them the forced inoculations, take their kids away from them. They do not like people that want to be left alone and who are self-sufficient. You know, the country music song, Hank Williams Jr., Country Boy Can't Survive. You can skin a buck, you can run a trot line. If you're black, white, Hispanic, Asian, but you can skin a buck, run a trot line, you believe in national sovereignty, you don't like foreign banks ruling you, the system is going to stage terror attacks and blame you. That's the full public lineup rollout scripting. And you're starting to see it, just as I told you you would. Of course, foreign banks have captured us. They've captured our military, both major parties, and they're not playing games. Now, you notice Ron Paul keeps winning straw polls or coming up first, second, or third. He's, what, third in Iowa, the key state right now, number one or number two, depending on which poll in New Hampshire, and the media is ignoring him and saying he can't win. He should be our next president. He knows how to begin to reverse this. He won't lie to you and say he can fix it all like Obama and Bush did. So we're at a crossroads, and we're going to our guest here in a moment. But here's the news coming up. Democrats seek to pin credit downgrade on Tea Party. And it's just like they've started running ads 6 months ago for the new Dodge Charger. How do I know a new Dodge Charger is coming out? I see the ads everywhere. How do I know they were getting ready to blame the Tea Party for the Depression? Because I know these people. How do I know they're getting ready to blow stuff up and blame it on us? Because this is what they do, and I can see the rollout. It's a giant advertising campaign. Continuing, dollar to be discarded by world, China rating agency. What has George Soros always wanted? What are the Rothschilds wanted? A new global system based in oil on carbon taxes, a basket of currencies, and gold. Continuing, dollar to be discarded, and they're going to have this new UN global organization, it's in the news, that will help countries that are imploding and help with troops during economic collapse. Oh, the UN's, just like in Libya, it's peace, not war. That's in the news. So the banks come in, bring you down, and then set the system up. Dollar to be discarded by world. China rating agency, see, they're our boss now, teamed up with the globalists. CNBC, China tells U.S. good old days of borrowing are over. See, they're our boss now. No amount of humiliation is enough. Dollar to be discarded. S&P head. Agency may downgrade U.S. again. Debt issuers brace for impact from U.S. downgrade. Counties, cities, states, all getting ready to go belly up and ride into the bankers' hands who created the whole mess on record. Mooney market prepares for hundreds and hundreds of downgrades. Counties, cities, states, which means more interest to the bankers on money we gave them in the bailout. You got to love that. Continuing. Gold surges above 1,700 on U.S. downgrade woes. No chance of default. U.S. can print money. Greenspan. CNBC. Gas prices up despite use of reserves. Okay, that's just some of what's coming up with our guests. We're going to detail all this. But call your friends and family. They're not going to hear this on any other radio show nationally that I know of. I wish it was everywhere. You're not going to hear the full scoop on what's going on anywhere. They're rearranging deck chairs on the Lusitania, on the Titanic. Okay, now, shifting gears into the entire situation with the Navy SEALs going down over the weekend, 30-plus dead on board, 20-plus SEAL Team 6. It was, and we have this posted, it was reported by Pakistani News, multiple witnesses. They got on the helicopter, it lifted off and blew up. Didn't hit the wall. Okay? So they're going to need, and that's what our military sources told us as well, not just callers like Colonel Six, who's given us very good intel before. So they need to cover up their death. I said, could they have just tagged the names onto a National Guard helicopter and said they died there? And Colonel Six said, no, he's talked to some of the family people. And Colonel Six called us, he corrected me, he's right, I looked it up. 4 months before McChrystal stood down, when there was no news about it, he said he's going to be brought down in a scandal you watch. Colonel Six has now told me who he is, and I've gone and looked it up. He's been involved. He's now, quote, out of the military, but still works for them. We'll just leave it at that. And he's here to give us information on that front, but I also have some other sources saying the same thing. Now, we had another helicopter go down today. NATO helicopter crash lands, and at first they said that it had been shot down. We're going to be discussing that with Colonel Six as well, but Colonel Six, break down exactly what this particular woman, who's related to one of the dead SEALs, told you the scuttlebutt is and what the SEALs are saying and why they would want to get rid of them.
In the beginning, the ones that were killed in Pakistan, all of the SEALs that were aboard that helicopter, one helicopter out of three, were killed. That was roughly a little more than half of that particular group. Now, SEAL Team 6, let me just back up a little bit, is made up of four squadrons, okay? And each squadron has... Each team has about 40-man troops, and you take 5-man operational troop guys to do a deal. So you got 22 on this one. You got four operational man groups there. What the deal is that there has been some talk among the wives and other relatives saying, we are going to go to the press and tell that we know how this was done and that it was not done the way they said it. There was no Bin Laden being taken. There was no him being taken to see and being buried. And that their loved ones died in a accident, in a way other than what's been reported. What pushed it over the edge was that the other half of that particular squadron, mixed in with a few other guys from another squadron to make it look good, the rest of them were killed in this crash that happened the other day. And there's some things I want to point out about this. First of all, they're not going to be in a National Guard helicopter. Those helicopters they use are Navy helicopters or Army helicopters, depending on which they have available at that time. They are secured at all times. You know, Batman is not going to take off after the Joker without his Batmobile. You know, he's not going to roll out and say, you know, hey, Six, let me use your 74 Volkswagen to go chase the Joker. No. So they have... the specially made helicopters. You remember the reason that the Pakistanians and the Chinese wanted to get a good look at that tail section that was left in Pakistan because it was unusual. So their helicopters are modified for their missions. And that's another that picks together.
Well, here's what I'm getting from Bagram Air Base. When Special Ops has an operation, no one knows, so it would never get reported, and it did within minutes, and that's what the other troops are saying. If anything went wrong or happened, or if these guys got killed, the news would never know. And they go on to say sometimes it takes years for people to be told that SEALs were killed, and that's been confirmed. They go on to say, and this is from our sources, and guys, don't show a shot of this yet. I'm not sure if I want to publish this yet. Quote, it hit the news just before as bodies were being cleaned up and identified, which, again, they don't do. The base goes on blackout to give time to notify families. And they just go on to say that the whole OBL thing, it was reportedly that they took his body out by Ospreys, which are Marine helicopters. They don't have those in Afghanistan. It's unlikely they have flown those all the way from wherever, just for a body, and it goes on. Chinooks rarely travel full of people. They have to hold equipment and packs and gear, so why was it full? The Chinook Special Ops uses Gatling guns on the sides of the Chinooks, don't, so no one should have been able to get close enough to RPG it. And it goes on to say it is possible to hold 36 souls, not 38. Is that true? You can only hold 36, and they're saying 38 were on that helicopter?
Well, when you run it anywhere over 30, you're running in dangerous territory, because that's true. You're going to have a door gunner on most of those missions. And plus, let me just back it up. When this first mission went down in Pakistan, so when they supposedly got bin Laden, there never should have been a mention of who captured it. Secondly, there surely shouldn't have been a mention of where Obama was going to go to meet them. Put a sign here. This is where you can find Special Forces troops. Now, you've got, I think it was the 101st Airborne out of there, and some Special Forces guys from some Ranger groups and so forth, because they obviously are not out of the Army base. They've got four groups. They got nine active duty SEAL teams. They got four in Cordova, California, four, I think, in Norfolk, and they got one that's made up of guys that are former SEALs that want to stay active and so forth. So it'd be eight active duty and one reserve, and four on the East Coast. That should have never been divulged. And just like the CIA, the only reason that we know that Johnny Mike Spann was one of the CIA agents that was killed when the first man...
The point is, like Dr. Pachinik says, who's run major operations worldwide, mm-hmm. including killing leaders in major European countries, the minute they come out and tell you a story immediately, you know it's staged, because real operations, you'll never hear about it.
That's it. You know, like I was telling you yesterday, they say jump, I say run. Okay? They say add, I say subtract, because, one, you're laying a road for a lie. When he said that they was going to go down and meet the guys that that had done this, okay, then that told me that the rest of them were in trouble. When I got this call the other night, this person...
Wait a minute, I think you said yesterday, was it on-air or off-air, that you said watch for more of them to start dying, and now another helicopter they tried to shoot down today, but we don't know who was on board.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I haven't even seen that part. And I heard, now, what I heard on the radio was it was a hard landing.
Yeah.
And I would think that this would be following too closely, unless... They had split the remainder up into two groups rather than another group.
Let me stop you right there. What are the sources with the SEALs telling you? Because last night you said that they were already getting ready to go public, and that's what this killing was about.
Right. Well, this last kill. Yeah, they were going to go in public and say that there was no bin Laden picked up. None of that stuff ever went down. Okay, and they kind of held off on that. When this other killing went down the other day, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. Then you had killed the entire team, everybody's husband, everybody's uncle, everybody's nephew, and damn it, now's the time to come forward, because if you don't, they're going to do it again, and we're grieving. Our hearts are broken. They're giving us a check instead of our husbands and our sons and so forth. It ain't going to go. We cannot let it happen to them, so it won't happen to other ones.
Well, let me stop you right there. For folks that are doubting this, they murdered five of the members of Jessica Lynch's team because they were coming out saying it was all a fable and made up for PR. They murdered Pat Tillman over this stuff. I mean, people need to understand this is done routinely if there's a big PSYOP rollout and troops aren't playing along. This is standard procedure.
Friends, let me tell you something. I've been in intelligence for the better part of 25 years. This is a rough and tumble game, okay? If I'm out on a mission and I get killed, nobody knows who I am, okay? I get sent back to the proper funeral home. My wife is told, you know, the people that know what I do know, but it never gets out, you know. And these guys are the same way. There's a guy in Arlington that's from Arlington. Now, his grandmother went ahead and released some information on him, and that's fine, because that was her choice. But you had too many operators on that Chinook. Okay.
Well, that's right. They rarely do that from what I've read. Stay there. Let's continue to break it down. All right, Alex Jones back here live tonight at 7 p.m. Central. We'll do another InfoWars special report at PrisonPlanet.tv. Then we'll have the aftermath of what's going on with the stock market. Also, starting September 1st, now we're only talking about 22 days away. We're going to launch every night, 7 p.m., 30-minute news program. And it looks different and is more produced than the special reports. We're also going to start special reports several nights a week. Some of them will be 10 minutes long, others an hour, 2 hours long, with all sorts of guests and other informative folks in studio with us and via Skype. So we're taking the info war to the next level. If you're not a PrisonPlanet.tv member, now is the time to become a member and to get our reports, download them, burn them to disk, and share them with your friends and family. I want to thank those of you that are PrisonPlanet.tv members. We couldn't have done any of this without you. Now, going back to Colonel Six. Colonel Six, the info you've given us on, I don't know, four or five subjects has turned out to be true. So you do have really good sources. You did tell me your name and who you are. I did look it up. And we appreciate your courage. And can you repeat to me what you said last night, that folks know what you're doing and that people inside the military have actually, well, I guess I'm already saying it for you.
Well, it's just not, you know, put up on billboards and on posters as you walk into units. But there are individuals that know about my blog, I have a radio show. It's on beforeisnews.com radio. You go to beforeisnews.com. And the radio show is called Agent in Place. You can click on it. You can listen to past episodes.
And by the way, there have been people behind the scenes trying to come after you now and trying to. I mean, they are getting upset by what you're doing, but you were telling me that some of the generals and folks are aware of what you're doing and that not everybody inside the military is happy about what's going on. In fact, you were telling me a lot of people are awake.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people are awake. And I get a lot of way to go. You know, just by passing by somebody. As long as the guy that I report to says, you know, you haven't taken this overboard, you haven't gone too far, anything like that, then I don't have any problems. I don't care what other people think. But I'm gonna tell you something. 90% of people are supportive of it. I have this thing called hit stats on my blog. You know, and that shows you where people are logging on from. And Camp Lejeune, Paris Island, the Air Force Academy.
Let me expand on that. What percentage of the military is starting to wake up to the New World Order?
Roughly 80%. Because, see, this is the whole thing. Everybody knows. And that, for instance, they will not tell you, but it is a fact, and you can check it out, that roughly 75%, now get this, of each unit that's been to or is in Afghanistan now, roughly somewhere between 50 and 75% of those units' members are hooked on opium. They're hooked on opium, Alex. So when they get back to East Dallas and all they got is heroin, they got opium oil. You hit it with a knife, the milk just comes out. You lick it off the knife, and boom, you're gone. They're not gonna be able to get that when you get back here. Okay? So they're going to be breaking into the pharmacy, stealing all cartons of OxyContin and all that type of stuff. It's going to be real problematic. But I want to make one other point that's very salient in this whole deal. The story is being told now is that they left to go back up a Ranger team. Bob, you do not send one special operating group to go with yet another one. Okay? If they're in trouble, then you need to send 100, 200 guys, okay, to go and help take care of that situation. It doesn't make sense. And then what they said is that the Rangers...
Stay there. We're going to be back in 1 minute.
Okay.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, I've got to get into the financial news and other world news. Colonel Six is our guest. And I don't know how much I can say, but he gave me a lot of proof of who he is yesterday and some of the things he's been involved in. He probably doesn't want to even get into that on air. But finishing up, you were bringing up the fact that normally there's not this many people together on one helicopter. The fact that it's the biggest one-day loss in the 9-plus-year war, almost 10-year war, coming up on that in October of this year, so 3 or 4 months from now.
Mm-hmm.
All of this really stinks to high heaven. And then you have the Pakistani TV with credible witnesses saying it lifted off, it blew up. We know that a helicopter did explode. And we know the whole bin Laden raid is a ridiculous fable, a buried at sea, fake situation room photos. I mean, that's all come out. But that's really bold of this establishment if they really would wipe out the other half of the SEAL team. But you're saying you have talked directly to these family members and that they were already talking about going public, and that's why they had to be taken out.
That's right. They were talking among themselves, and it had been heard by someone outside of their group. I doubt outside of the team, but maybe another team member who was concerned that this information was going to get, that they were going to do something to blow the cover on it. And that person may have said something to someone else. I don't know exactly how it goes, but they had decided that they were going to hold back and wait for a better time to do it and see how if it was going to come out from somewhere else. Because Dr. Roberts hit on it so quick after it happened. And then General Gould came on and came right behind him with the exact same thing. Another thing you got to look at, Afghanistan has been in consultations or negotiations with the Taliban because on four occasions, Karzai has asked the United States to leave. He told them that they were beginning to become like an occupying force. He told them that they killed up a bunch of kids, a group of people that had like 8 kids in it, that he didn't want any more apologies. He said, at one point, NATO, get out. So each time that this is happening, I think what happened is they came back at him kind of like the Bobby and John Kennedy deal. They killed his brother, who was a big-time dope dealer. I mean, so it wouldn't be a great loss to the world. But it would be a great loss to President Karzai. And that's saying like, hey, that your brother, that could have been you. So, yeah, people are waking up because people understand really what this is. Everybody in the Marine Corps is familiar with Smelly Butler. And he's saying that war is a racket, okay? And that makes us, in essence, racketeers. What you have to understand is, like I said, this is a rough and tumble game. People, there is no reset button, all right? And so you have to take everything as it comes.
Okay.
When you have them tell you, when they come out and tell you a cover story like this, and it has so many holes in it, then you just have to wait for the other shoe to drop. The other shoe has dropped. Now, they're going to get in touch with the gentleman I don't know if I told you on the air or not, but Mr. Hirsch, okay? I gave him the number that I have for Mr. Hirsch. I don't know if it's, I haven't tried to call him myself, But apparently they got through to him because she did. I told her she had any problems. Give me a call back, and I'd help her try to follow up on that. This is going to break pretty soon, okay? Because, like I say, these people have had, and really you don't even know the numbers. Because if you got, the numbers don't jive. You know,
Colonel Six, I'm going to get into the economy, but do two more minutes with us on the other side. I want to come back because the New Yorker just last week put out a puff piece about the Bin Laden thing. I know Cy Hirsch, Pulitzer Prize winner, I've talked to him before, but he says he'll come on the show and never does. I know he's exposed Abu Ghraib and a lot of big events, Operation Phoenix, but I mean, they are in Obama's hip pocket. I don't know. The families ought to just give a press conference before they start getting whacked. We'll be right back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, I have sources known to me, sources that are unknown, but have given us good information in the past. At Fort Bragg, Fort Hood, I do not have any sources other than, well, I guess I do have a couple sources with the Navy SEALs, but they're all retired. But these operations are all mixed in together, and no one in the Army... no one in the Marine Corps, no one is buying the official story that the biggest one-day loss just so happened to be people from SEAL Team 6, which was part of the same group that raided the Bin Laden compound. I mean, statistically, when the SEALs are such a small part of the overall force of, what, 70-plus thousand, not even counting contractors in Afghanistan, that they would be the biggest one-day loss is very hard to believe. It statistically boggles the mind. But that it would be from the same unit. And then you've got the whole Bin Laden story that is just beggars the mind. It is so ridiculous. I mean, the minute I saw that Situation Room photo on that Sunday night, the way they released it to dominate news coverage for the week, and Hillary with her hand over her mouth, I mean, you know when a photo's staged. It looked like they got them all scripted, the men all acting tough. Turned out that was fake. They weren't watching. There wasn't a firefight. The helicopter blew up, on and on and on. The media called it flawless execution. You know, with the helicopter blowing up, that's real, real flawless. This whole thing is ridiculous. And now Colonel Six, who told us about McChrystal and Libya before it happened, that's a separate issue, but I want to finish up with the SEALs and the families. And they're saying they're going to reach out. Let me tell you, they need to do a press conference right now. In fact, I'm even creeped out even being somewhere close to this. This is very creepy, kind of like when I warned the D.C. madam a couple months before she got killed. I said, you better go public now. And she said, no. And I said, well, say you're never going to commit suicide. She said, never. And I even talked to her condo manager she was good friends with. She said men were following her. She was worried. She was getting documents to her mother. And they killed her, hung her in her mother's shed. They don't play games. And then we got her handwriting. I was sent her lease. Was not even the same handwriting. And I had Florida detectives and people calling me, and that was creepy and weird. But the whole point here is the detectives said there were no foul play. Yeah, I don't need to talk to you guys. It's obvious what team you're on here. So all of this is happening. I mean, this is a dangerous situation, Colonel Six. Are you familiar with Jessica Lynch and how five of the survivors were murdered in a two-week period when they started speaking out, saying she hid in fear, none of this is true, when they were using it as PR to get women to join the military?
Yes, sir, I am. Yeah, I'm very familiar with that. Some other situations, like I said, the Tillman situation was one that came across my desk to do some looking into, which is how I got in behind McChrystal, okay? And so then we know what happened on that. But let me just make one other point. Yeah, these people, this woman didn't just up and call me either, okay? There was about six fences she had to jump in order to find out, to get me to call her back, okay? And I told her, let me know who you are, blah, 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 so on and so forth. I found that out real quick. And then I said, you know, how can I help you? You know, and I said that I would, you know, advise you. That's what I told him. I would advise you to get either call a press conference immediately or get in touch with Hirsch is the only person I could think of that would look at it. I should, Bill Gertz. I should have put it on Gertz, but I don't have his number anymore. But somebody that's going to get this out there that has a lot of credibility, and it's going to just say, you know, hey, this is what happened. I mean, it, you know, what happened is what happened. You can dress up the donkey to look like a zebra, but it's going to be still break. And for them to come out and do this type of thing is what is waking up the members of today's military. They're jacking them, they're just jacking them around on the way that their pensions are going to be paid out to them. Like you said, they've taken the insurance money that they were supposed to have had and given them checks that when they try to cash the checks, they're bad checks. And
well, it's a contract. When they cash the check, it voids all the money they were going to get.
Uh-huh. And so, you know, all these type of things. And then you got people that say, well, we back the troops. Okay, well, if you back the troops, you know, I don't like the war, but I back the troops. You can't do both, friends. It's like they were saying, we're going to establish a no-fly zone. In order to establish a no-fly zone, you must start a war. That's the only way to do it. I mean, you don't just throw a net over.
Well, that's my next question. What's the word then? Because you talked to her and others. I mean, how many people are planning to go public? Do we have any idea? And what are they going to say? You know, investigate the shoot down of this helicopter?
Actually, when I talked with her, there was two other women there. And they gave me the impression there was at least a dozen, okay? And what they're going to do is they're going to come out and they're going to say basically that some of them had relatives, and mostly his husbands. I'm just going to stick it, come out and say that. Husbands that were in SEAL Team 6 that were killed in the operation in Pakistan, and that other members that were in the other two helicopters, they know that there was no Bin Laden. So those are the guys that went back and kind of kept it on the hush-hush for a minute, but then, you know, two people can keep a secret if one of them's dead. So they start talking even once a month, maybe at a basketball game or in the gym or something like this. Anyway.
Well, that's my next point, uh-huh. Is that it was the family that came out on Tillman, and then it did turn out he wasn't fighting Al-Qaeda. He was murdered. The Army's own coroner wouldn't lie, said that he'd been murdered. And then now it all came out that he'd sent letters home and was going to go public, so they killed him. And it's the same thing with Jessica Lynch. They were going to use her for PR. They told her to lie. She said, okay, I'll do it. And then finally she came out and said, okay, it's all a lie, or they were going to kill her and then say, oh, the poor hero died in a car wreck. Right. But they'd already killed the other folks that were speaking out. Why are they so bold? I mean, if the Pentagon and the people that run this keep getting caught killing people who get in the way of their public relations propaganda, then, I mean, if they really did kill these SEALs, which it looks like they did, these people are crazy. Because if they can't cover up the murder of Pat Tillman or Jessica Lynch's unit, they're not going to be able to cover this up.
No, but it's just like Jimi Hendrix said, acts as bold as love. You know, when you get to a certain point where you don't care if it's covered up or not, I tell you what you're going to need to do is prove it, okay? Now, how are you going to prove it? And I mean, take it into a court and have the elements of evidence and so forth to actually prove wrongful death or whatever you want to go for. It's going to be damn near impossible.
So even if they're going to get caught, they don't care, because the only thing they couldn't deal with is the credibility of the Navy SEALs themselves going public. Now if their wives want to run around and say they were killed, that'll just be ignored. Kind of like even the Pat Tillman thing. They couldn't have him standing here saying, we're growing opium. Even if it came out they killed him, at least Pat Tillman, who has all this credibility, can't do it. Colonel Six, great points. Colonel6.com with two X's. We'll continue to check in with you as this develops. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Very well. Colonel Six answered the question. Smart guy right there. I tell you, this is beyond creepy. Beyond creepy. And again, the whole Bin Laden story is a lie. And so everything else connected to it. Is a lie. Now, I do not have words to describe what's happening right now, ladies and gentlemen. We're watching the stock market. It went down, then it went back up. Now it's plunging. Dow falls 300. Bank of America sinks, and we'll put this up on screen. It's linked on Infowars.com, but also DrudgeReport.com is their top link, the red link. Dow falls 300. Bank of America sinks 15%. Gold turbo soars, absolutely turboing. The Dow is down 358. Man, I tell you, this is really, 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 really. NASDAQ's down 107. This is not pretty. Man, S&P's down 49.21. And we have all been maneuvered towards this point, and then they're going to hold everybody hostage as the depression becomes more evident by fall, and the Super Congress is going to say, we got a new stimulus package, QE3. We're going to have to raise your taxes, or nobody's getting their Social Security or pension funds. Just like in Europe. Same thing they did, same playbook in Greece, in Ireland, in Iceland. Now, the Icelanders rioted for a year, and the banks went, oh, we reassessed that. It turns out 93%, this is the London Guardian, of that money's owed by our own banks. We'll fine. Don't worry about all the tax increases, Iceland. But this is unspeakable. What's happening? And here's the deal. They've maneuvered us to this position, getting us to sign on to their derivative debt, and now they are our bosses blaming the Tea Party for what's happened. The very admitted culprits of the entire situation. And we're going to be going over all of this with Webster Tarpley and others coming up. Nomi Prinz, Dr. Steve Pachinik is going to be popping in. But I want to bring Ted Anderson up at the end of this segment, the next segment. Now is the time to get into gold. Ted, where is gold right now?
Yeah, well, gold currently right now is trading at, there it is right there, 1714.90. It's seen a high today of 1720.30. Silver's strong, too, 39.85 on a high, 39.42 currently. Alex, things are melting down. I mean, the S&P downgrading to an AA+ from a AAA rating is just, you know, sending the shot right over the bow, man.
Gold is up $49.10 today.
Yeah, it's just been just such a hot market. I mean, right now, well, give you an idea. I mean, like the G20 leaders are talking about meeting just because of this very thing to try to stimulate the markets.
That's in the AP, quote, global. Well, and again, that's give them trillions more. Oh, let us fix it. Yes, they're meeting right now to, quote, avert a global meltdown. They were meeting last night to do that too, Ted.
I know it. That's what's going on. So everything, you know, the big elite group that controls the world right now is trying to figure out ways to stop the economy from completely melting apart.
Yeah, because they want to slowly bleed us like a vampire creeping up to your bed at night. They don't want to do it out in front of God and the whole world. Ted, gold up $49 at $1,712+. Stay with us. Again, I know you're regular listeners, but the articles are posted, the video reports. Remember 6 months ago, I shot a special report video saying we're on the verge of total collapse, and folks are a day later going, where's the collapse, Alex? You know, Salente said, we're going into a collapse. They're like, where is it? They've been lying to you saying we're not in a depression when every real economic indicator shows we've been in one for 3 years. They lie and tell you unemployment's 9.6. It's been above 22% for close to 3 years. Even 60 Minutes says 22.5% nationwide. In their analysis, 33% in California. And that was in November of last year that 60 Minutes, CBS has to admit 30%+. Unemployment a year ago in Detroit was over 55%. Crime is just exploding. My neighbors got robbed the other day and got vandalized. I mean, crime is just exploding. They're stealing metal off of everything. One of my crew was out shopping for houses out in the country, and a couple of the houses they went and looked at had recently, in separate neighborhoods in the country, had the guts stolen out of them. Okay, I'm ranting. The point is, ladies and gentlemen, keep your guns locked and loaded and watch your kids and lock your cars when you're driving around. There's all sorts of robberies intensifying, and the news is not going to tell you, and they're cutting back on police. Ted, it is so incredible to see gold at $1,712. It went as high, as you said, at $1,720. I mean, it's up $49 today, was up $57. I mean, this is unbelievable. But, of course, they've signaled. What do you make of Alan Greenspan? And I have the quote here. The video's up on InfoWars.com. Ted, I'll read the exact quote here. I'm trying to find it, where he said, we're not worried, we'll never default because we'll just print money. That is a default. The bankers get first use of it before it's devalued, but then they pass it on to us. That is a hyperinflationary statement if I ever saw one.
It sure is, and especially coming from Alan Greenspan. I don't know if you've read his stuff from way back when he was in college. I mean, he knows. He must be thinking we're idiots if he thinks
he hung out.
Money.
He hung out with Ayn Rand and Ron Paul people. He wrote books about the New World Order, and they came and hired him, like Anakin Skywalker becoming Darth Vader. Here's CNBC. The United States can pay any debt it has because we can always print money to do that. So there is zero possibility of default, said Greenspan on NBC's Meet the Press. But that's what the Chinese and Ron Paul and everybody have said. That is another default. You just pay them the monopoly money, Ted. So the whole world's freaking out.
It is. It's worse than a default. It's going to kill anybody or destroy anybody that saved their money. People that are retired and living off of their retirements are going to go broke.
And that's because they've invested all the global financial instruments with derivatives. If we don't pull the derivatives out, we have no hope, do we, Ted?
No, you're right, Alex. It's a house of cards no matter where you turn. That's why, you know, if we raise the debt limit, it's going to be a problem. If we don't raise the debt limit, it's going to be a problem. Alan Greenspan, at least, is being honest. Hey, look, we're not going to default. We're going to print as much money as it takes in order to solve this problem. At least they're being honest.
All right.
You might as well button the hatches.
Absolutely not. Now, here's the good news. Ted, when they artificially plunged gold and silver 3 months ago, bought a hoard of it, a dragon's hoard, he sold out of that. But as it's been going back up, he's buying, buying, buying. The gold and silver you've got for radio specials today, listen to me carefully, folks. Tell us, Ted, gold-wise on average, where it was when you bought this gold. I know it varies piece to piece. And the silver, and what type of discount you can offer, folks. This is your time machine opportunity to get gold that Ted bought at a lower price that he still sells to you at the lower price, even though the market's exploded.
Well, I mean, the first thing, small pieces of gold make a lot of sense. The franc right now is at $371. I can tell you right now, the franc has gone up to a price of $374. This puts us in at a price range right around the 1690 level for gold. British sovereigns currently right now are trading at 469.73. I have them on the radio special for 465 even. So they're going to take a bump and an increase. See, gold is going up in price. Here's one for you. The U.S. Eagle now is 1836. I mean, if people have any sense to what's going on at all, they'll realize that that's indeed what the government's going to do. Print money. You know, right now, $88 delivers you the American Dream video. You're going to get two pieces of silver, you know, along with the Mark Dice book. Man, people should know what's going on.
A powerful film, free shipping, getting the silver dollars at cost. 800-686-2237. Folks, I feel good promoting deals that are this good. They got a whole list of radio specials. Tell them it's the Alex Jones special. 800-686-2237. Ted, from what I'm hearing with you, it's stuff's going to go up in price tomorrow?
Yeah, I won't have a choice. It's going to either go up or the market crashes, one of the two, but it ain't going to because it's going up.
800-686-2237. Thank you, Ted. Ladies and gentlemen, if you like the front row seat to the banking oligarchs gang raping every sovereign nation, you ain't seen nothing yet. No. You ain't seen nothing yet. They're not going to stop. We're going to look like Argentina. 70 years ago, it was still the wealthiest country in the Western Hemisphere per capita. Wealthier than the United States. As rich as an Argentine, was the saying. Many Americans set sail as young men to go down there and make their fortune. Well, they are an absolute third world hellhole now, completely robbed. Ted Anderson was down there on his honeymoon. Oh, I don't know, it was a year or 2 years ago, and he said he saw good-looking families. I mean, good-looking families living in doorways everywhere. You know, not drunken, lazy people. These are folks living in doorways and then working at you know, $1 a day, taking an incredibly rich, intelligent population, destroying them. This is what the oligarchs do. We're going to be talking to Webster Tarpley, who predicted all of this with absolute precision. The austerity. You've got to watch the Obama deception. You've got to get that film from 2.5 years ago and get it out to everybody you know. Download it from PrisonPlanet.tv. And yes, when you purchase the DVD or get a PrisonPlanet.tv membership, it funds us here. We are struggling to continue to capitalize this operation as we go into a depression. I know things are rough. We have got to launch the full spectrum television show and build out of that other TV programs, because we are one of the few shows that is a big enough platform to reach millions and to educate others. And we're seeing the material we cover now being picked up on by more and more conservatives, libertarians, and liberals. We're shattering the controlled left-right paradigm right now. We're going to do a special report tonight, 7 p.m. at PrisonPlanet.tv in the live show area. We're revamping the site to make it easier to find the live reports. Then we archive them on the aftermath of the stock market plunging today, gold exploding in prices. We're watching it all. But not only do you get my book, Paul Watson's book, all my films, expanded extras, the higher quality audio podcast, and so much more at PrisonPlanet.tv for 15 cents a day, you also support this broadcast and what we are doing. I'd like to say when you purchase gold and silver from Midas Resources, you support us as well. And Ted is the sponsor of the show, but there isn't much support at the prices Ted's giving you. I happen to know the inside numbers. They're lost leaders, so I hope you also call Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. And don't forget the online video bookstore at Infowars.com. And again, you can also call my office here, 888-253-3139. If you have any questions or comments about any specials or deals we have a very popular, it's my favorite item, new Infowars.com, don't tread on me, camo, certified good old boy hats in. And there's not many hats I'll wear, and I like this one. Infowars.com or 888-253-3139. It's also very important in this imploding economy to support our local AM and FM affiliates. A lot of great stations have carried this show for more than, we've got affiliates going back 14 years that still carry us, but a lot of new affiliates, please support their local sponsors. If you're a local business and believe in this broadcast, you know, you vote with your dollars. We don't take your money like the tax man and then use it against you. You voluntarily vote, literally war bonds to save the republic when you fund this media operation and when you sponsor our local AM and FM stations. Now, going to Doctor of History, he's also an economist, Webster Griffin Tarpley. If you have not watched Obama Deception and Fall of the Republic, two films I made back to back, we predicted everything Obama would do. That film was basically done when he got elected. Or when he got sworn in, it came out like a month after he got sworn in. It's more powerful than when we made it because of Webster Tarpley and other economists like George Humphrey laying out exactly what was going to happen. This is like you're running the Titanic at full steam right towards a iceberg. You know it's not going to be good. And the oligarchs have figured out this rationale of austerity is sexy, post-industrial world. They plan the whole thing out. Greenspan says, don't worry, we'll just print our way out of this. He told CNBC that. That means hyperinflation on one end. But if you don't print, then the economy stalls. So what do you do? Well, you continue to print money, and you have zero credit, zero interest, total credit to the population, real businesses. You don't just hand hundreds of trillions of dollars over to the globalists to do whatever they want. And so that's what's happening. Everything is going into the hands of the banking cartel that engineered this. And just like Greece, just like Ireland, the more we bail them out, the more money we give to the zombie banks, the worse things get. And again, the economy is in an absolute free fall route right now. I'll be giving you those numbers as we talk to Dr. Tarpley here. China is saying it's the end of the dollar. The world is moving away from the dollar quickly. They're talking about now that the downgrade's beginning, that the U.S. is basically technically defaulting, and they're reporting that hundreds of cities, towns, counties, states, dozens of states are on the verge of going completely bankrupt. But this is all fraudulent bankruptcy because 90-plus percent of the debt is induced debt that we were signed onto by the Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan mafia that put their politicians in the House, Senate, and, of course, the Obama administration. Bush passed the baton over to them. And so no one is really debating the elephant in the room except for people like Dr. Tarpley. And we predicted it all 100%. Said within 2 to 3 years this would happen. In Obama deception, fall of the Republic. Here we are 2.5, 3 years later. Webster Tarpley, thank you for joining us.
Alex, how you doing?
I'm not doing too good. I live here. I love my family. I'm watching these criminals sit up there, Geithner saying we would never lose our AAA rating, knowing full well once they got the Super Congress in, they were going to bring us deeper into receivership. Tarpley, welcome.
Thank you. Well, this is what we talked about. It's a depression. It is a breakdown crisis. It's a disintegration of the entire system, not just a collapse of prices, but institutions that cease to exist all over the place. Right now, there's a whiff of panic, right? It just crashed through minus 400 on the Dow. Let's go back to last week. We had this crisis around the debt ceiling. I regarded this crisis as totally unnecessary, reckless, irresponsible. We had a lot of wild talk from ideologues about how the U.S. could default. It wouldn't matter. That is very foolish. The U.S. Treasury securities are the bedrock of the economy of this entire planet. It's not a good system. I don't like this system, but I wouldn't say junk the system and then go off the cliff. I don't think that's good policy. So what happened last week was this fear about the U.S. default drove a lot of people to dump government bonds around the world. That would be especially Italian bonds, because Italy had been under attack since about July 11th, Spanish bonds and other bonds, along with U.S. bonds to some extent, but not that much. The money then flowed into Switzerland, Japan, and Germany, driving up their currencies and making their exports harder to buy. Not good for these countries either. They're very, very worried about it. So we had a situation where Italy and Spain were big targets. Now, we've also got this European August vacation break. The volumes in the bond markets of Italy, Spain are quite low at this time of year. A perfect occasion for the hedge fund hyenas and the zombie bankers to come in and attack using credit default swaps. The Europeans had a chance last year to outlaw credit default swaps when Germany, Schäuble, the finance minister, talked about it. They decided not to do that. They also talked about having a Tobin tax, a turnover tax on these finance oligarchs. They didn't do that. So they were sitting there pretty much exposed to the attack. And that then got the Spanish and Italian bonds going down. That, in turn, raises the issue, well, maybe the euro will blow up, and then, of course, the dollar might also blow up in some combination. What you then saw was a lot of European banks were going to the brink. If you look at Commerzbank of Germany, you look at Société Générale of France, Barclays of Britain, and some others, these banks are under a lot of pressure. A lot of European institutions are dumping U.S. stocks, and they're also dumping futures contracts in the oil market. The reason that oil is going down has a lot to do with the fact that price is mostly speculation. And when the speculators get in trouble, they got to liquidate their positions to get into cash. So that's sort of the technical side of it. Now, in the middle of this, Standard & Poor's, the fact that this institution even exists today is a tribute to the competence of the whole, what can we say, criminal justice system.
They have been transferred by the big banks who basically set these groups up. They've been transferred the power of Congress actually rating itself. So it creates the false idea that oligarchical bankers set the destiny and the credit and faith of your country. Right. Are they not really the true dictators now of our country, S&P, Moody's, and others, who are made up of a revolving door of the big six zombie bank executives?
Exactly. I was thinking this morning when I heard that Standard & Poor's was making ultimatums again to the United States. Standard & Poor's this morning says, we may downgrade you again, so watch out. And we demand immediate fiscal action. In other words, we demand genocidal budget cuts. My God.
They demand shock therapy. Never cut the trillions the bankers are stealing. Never prosecute themselves for the derivatives fraud. Cut your Social Security. And again, it's a fiat economy. It is a dependency economy. But once you're into that, it's the only economy you have. Even as Ron Paul has said, you'd have to phase out of this stuff over decades. You cut all of these safety nets out, we will go into a total road warrior depression instantly, with riots in the streets, with 45 to 50 million people on food stamps. And what is S&P and others saying? They're openly saying slash it all, which is known as the IMF riot in their own documents, where they want the riots to begin to further cause absolute destruction of any institution, so the banks can then come in behind it and literally set up mercenary warlords and fully conquer us.
I would say my feeling this morning was the ratings agencies are acting like Hitler. They're basically, Hitler used to say, this is my last territorial demand in Europe. And S&P says, well, this is my last demand for genocidal austerity for this month. It's time to fight back. The United States is under attack. That's the only way to look at this. This is now political. The gesture by S&P is completely political. And if the other ratings agencies, now we've got two more Damocles swords. We've got Fitch and we've got Moody's. What are they going to do? I think it's time to investigate these entities. What are their conflicts of interest? How many of them are shorting U.S. Treasury bonds? How many of them have relatives who are shorting?
Yeah, insider
US
trading.
Treasury bonds, exactly. Insider trading. If those guys that you saw from S&P on all the television shows yesterday, if they were talking about stocks, if they were telling you to buy a stock, then they'd have to put up a chart that says, does this analyst own the stock? Do relatives own the stock? Do they provide services? Are they shorting? All the rest of this stuff. Somehow, these people seem to be above the law. S&P runs wild. The Treasury, and I think they're right, Geithner says, they made a $2 trillion error. If they make a $2 trillion error, where's the accountability? What are they going to say? Too bad if you lost your life savings. We're sorry.
But that's just a dance they're doing. Geithner's totally controlled by the very same crew, as you know, Webster, expanding on that.
But he's telling you the truth, that their analysis is worthless. Now, just think back to 2008. Those same ratings agencies, the three that we're talking about, they were giving AAA ratings to every piece of toxic derivative junk in Wall Street up until 5 seconds before, what, the ultimate bankruptcy of Lehman Brothers or whatever.
Yeah, that was the sucker play. Now they're in the implosion angle, and that leads me to my next question. 3 weeks ago, you talked, because you read Italian, you speak Italian, that they were subpoenaing Moody's and S&P in Italy. Now we read last Friday that they did raid them, and so you're saying that's the same thing here. Raid their hind ends now.
Yes, exactly. Get the FBI going. Get the Department of Justice. The Secret Service, I think, still works for the Treasury, or could. There's got to be an immediate investigation, and the only way to do that is you've got to determine, is there a criminal conspiracy going on involving various hedge fund operators who are in collusion with these agencies?
And by the way, Webster, this is a big deal for those that don't know. This is one of the biggest things we've seen in decades. The fact that for the first time in modern history we're being downgraded, that means now that it's going to spread as a contagion to states, counties, and cities, and already has. So the very same hedge fund hyenas can now loan these counties and states and cities back citizen banker bailout money at exorbitant interest prices.
Right. They're driving. This is basically a conspiracy to raise the interest rates. In other words, to gouge the American people more. right now here in the Washington area, right, everybody in Virginia and Maryland is waiting because we were told already by the ratings agencies that if the U.S. Treasury debt is downgraded, since Virginia and Maryland depend so much on the federal budget because of the nature of the regional economy, that the Maryland and Virginia bonds will also be downgraded. I think they're both AAA. But what are we talking about? The current situation is a dictatorship. It looks like this. At the top of the dictatorship, we have the triumvirate of S&P, Fitch, and Moody's. And they hand down their decisions. They say, we demand $4 trillion of genocidal budget cuts. We demand more budget cuts. Then those orders are going to go to the 12 tyrants. That's the super committee or the super Congress. I call them the 12 tyrants, a good term drawn from Greek and Egyptian history. The 12 tyrants, and we're getting some word about who they might turn out to be, the 12 tyrants are going to report around Thanksgiving, and then between Thanksgiving and December, Christmas basically, the Congress is going to be forced to vote on this. This is modeled on the BRAC, the Base Realignment and Closing Committee, although it's a qualitatively different level of operations, because this is now running the entire economy.
Before it was just they were deciding what bases to close. Now this is all the spending and cutting bills not coming out of the House and individual members. It's coming out of the Committee of 12 with Obama as the 13th.
Right, and this will be a secret committee. You know, in Venice they had the Council of 10, right? The Council of 10 was the hated and feared secret intelligence agency of the Venetians. This is now the Council of 12. And the idea is that they're going to come up with their list of genocidal budget cuts, and it'll be take it or leave it. Look at what the BRAC did. Last week, we had a tragic event here in Washington, D.C. Walter Reed Army Hospital, which was the best facility in the world if you had paraplegics coming in, people who had lost arms, legs, limbs in the various wars. It's a tragedy, of course, but Walter Reed Army Hospital had developed the very best team in the world in terms of getting those guys back on
prosthesis,
on the path to recovery. Now, that entire hospital has been shut down. It's destroyed. They say they're moving it to Bethesda Naval Medical Center. It just won't be the same. And it also means that there's one fewer hospital in the District of Columbia, where the district has been losing hospitals continuously. Now, what the 12 tyrants are going to do, they will do the same thing to the U.S. economy that the BRAC did to Walter Reed Army Hospital. And it is.
And imagine what the lobbyists will do. Imagine the power. We're already seeing Obama give health care waivers to his friends and GE's exempt from carbon taxes. Imagine the power this gives the oligarchy. Now they're not having to buy off 500 members of the House and Senate of the Congress. Now they just go to 12 super tyrants. And now we learn it was never about raising the debt limit. It was all about getting this agreement for the crisis that they were about to stage.
I think it's imperative now that legal action emerge against these entities. The United States of America is the most powerful modern state. The United States could reach out and crush these agencies like cockroaches, simply using the well-known track record. Look what they did in 2008.
But instead, their operatives run the government, so they're taming the giant. We are now kneeling to the one-inch goblin that is, you know, that is the New World Order, and we're being taught, and the Chinese are getting to buggy whip us and talk about how the dollar's dead, yeah. and it's all part of our humiliation.
Yeah, I would also say on this, it's time to stand up for the United States. Putin says the United States is a parasite. This is wrong. I'm sorry, Putin. Think again. Wall Street is a parasite, but if you look at the U.S. economy, let's just look at U.S. food production. The U.S. family farm, the grain and the corn that the U.S. produces, is the basis of the entire world food market. It's the only thing that's preventing whole zones of the world from going into absolute famine and genocide. So let's not overdo it on the U.S. parasitism. Wall Street is a parasite. There's no doubt about that. But there's also a productive economy here, which we could...
Wall Street is the parasite that's grown globally powerful from sucking our blood. It's the too big to fail. Instead of it telling us that we are bankrupt and we are scum and jumping on this global bandwagon, we have to expose that they are the parasites.
And the other thing is the Chinese. Now, there is this ratings agency, which is sort of a fly-by-night operation. I don't know what it is. Is it a Tong? Is it a branch of the People's Liberation Army? I don't know who they are. I don't care about... I don't like their ratings agencies any more than I like the ones here. It's time for China to butt out of the internal affairs of the United States. I don't want to hear advice from the Chinese about what kind of genocidal budget cuts we need to have. No. Sorry. And those crybabies, they should think now, if they went into the market and bought U.S. Treasury bonds, you know very well if you buy a bond in the market, it's a marketable bond. It goes up and down. It fluctuates. You can't come crying to say, oh, I made an investment and then it went down. Too bad. That was a very foolish
decision. Well, by bad-mouthing the investment, they're only devaluing their previous investment, and that's what's so scary about this. Yeah. As the U.S. goes under... If people think Greece is sucking Europe down, if the U.S. goes under, we are looking at a total worldwide depression.
Again, I would not blame Greece. This is not Greece. This is an attack by the hedge fund hyenas organized in a conspiratorial meeting in a Manhattan townhouse.
But Webster, I wasn't blaming Greece. I'm saying if people think Greece and the bankers robbing it is causing problems in Europe, imagine what the U.S. going under would look like.
Okay, now, just in terms of that Italian judge, right, Ruggiero, he's doing things. Now, speaking of the Greeks have just banned short selling in the Athens stock market for the next 2 months. This is the wave of the future. In other words, when you're attacked by speculators and their ratings agencies and this whole cabal of financial interest, you got to fight back. The modern state has to fight back. One of the things you could say isn't S&P and aren't these ratings agencies really a supranational institution? Could the United States not defend itself using something like the Trading with the Enemy Act? I've talked about the need to start a new Tea Party, and the TEA in my Tea Party is Trading with the Enemy Act, which allows you to then say, look, we're being attacked. Our markets and our economic life.
By the way, this is something bombs can't even do. It's so destructive. They are attacking us. The people that AAA rated, known crud, totally run by the mega banks, are now doing this so they can prey upon us even more. It is absolutely, the Federal Reserve is an enemy operation. This whole thing is an outside financial paramilitary takeover, and I say arrest all of them right now for sedition and attempted overthrow of this country.
I think that's what it is. The country is under attack, and at that point, you've got to essentially do what you need to do. Now, the other thing is, what may these characters be preparing next? We have the following situation: Greece, Portugal, and Ireland are already receiving European bailouts from this crazy fund. It's a very misguided fund; should not have been done.
Which is our money again, but then we get blamed for everything.
I don't know. That's not quite so clear cut. But it's a lunatic policy. But this means that the speculators have turned away from the original trio of Greece, Portugal, and Ireland, at least for the moment. They had then lifted and shifted to Italy and Spain, starting on July 11th, especially with Italy, and then crescendo last week. At the moment, they seem to be looking, as one guy on CNBC was saying this morning, the sharks, the hedge fund hyenas, are looking for new victims, and who might that be? The probable sequence is something like this. First comes Belgium. Of the northern European countries, the one with the most vulnerable bond markets is Belgium. And again, if there are any Belgian government officials listening in, guys, ban credit default swaps now. Ban shorting of your government bonds, and you will protect yourself. After Belgium, France. And now you're striking at the very heart of the European Union, the French-German relation. So if the French come under this attack, I think even with a no-goodnik like Sarkozy in power, something is going to have to give. In other words, somebody in Europe is going to have to say, are we just going to sit here and be raped, or are we going to fight back? And we'll see, right? They may lie down, play dead, roll over, whatever it is, or they may fight back. And the
all right, Webster,
fight back takes the form of the ban on credit default swaps.
Do five more minutes with us ahead of Nomi Prinz joining us. Webster Tarpley, tarpley.net. I'm Alex Jones with InfoWars.com. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
By the way, a report I never even got to in the last 2 hours. I now have to read my own reports at drudgereport.com. Go to drudgereport.com. Up there at the very top links, as it shows Obama-geddon taking place. Investors flee. China dollar to be discarded by the world. Pollster, Americans are pre-revolutionary. That's an Infowars.com Paul Joseph Watson article. S&P, 1 in 3 chances U.S. will fall another notch. Moody's threatens. Limbaugh, Obama, debt man walking. Gold smashes all records. Bank of America hammered. And if you scroll down on drudgereport.com, you can read Barackalypse Now. Webster Tarpley, I know that I start frothing, but that's what exciting talk radio does anyways. I don't do it on purpose, and interrupting constantly because we're in such trouble. But I am completely freaked out. I mean, I'm not just up here saying we're in deep trouble, you know, because it's fun to do on radio. I mean, this is happening worse and faster than I thought. I want to have you back up in the next few days to do a whole hour on what's happening and also solutions. But briefly, in the time we've got left, Webster, I know that you are a learned man who I respect. And I've done a lot of research myself, so I know bona fide when I see it. And I believe in a lot of your solutions. Once we've gotten to this collectivist system, you know, there's only one way to extricate yourself out, and that isn't pay everything to the bankers. I get all that. But they're not going to do what you've said. They're not going to do what other economists have warned about. They're not going to do what Dr. Roberts talks about with truly investing in domestic production. That's not happening. So with the runaway crazies we've got running things and bankers who said they wanted to implode this country to consolidate it, where are they taking us? Where are we going to be next week, a month from now, a year from now, if we don't change course?
Well, I would say, first of all, on the euro side, there's going to be a concerted attempt to escalate the euro crisis between now and the end of the month of August. Because, again, this is the month when everybody in southern Europe, be it Italy, Spain, Bavaria, right, any place that's Catholic, by about August 15th, they shut down just about completely. Germany, somewhat the same thing, even in the northern parts. So you have very low volumes in these bond markets. Perfect time for the hedge fund hyenas from New York and London to come in and make their attacks using credit default swaps. So look for the attack on the euro will escalate. And again, Belgium, and then France. And then it's at the point that France comes under attack, I hope people realize this is indeed a world economic depression. That's their side. Now, on the U.S. side, remember, the depression comes in three waves, right? 1929 is a crash. 1931, a European banking crisis. Then it comes back to the U.S. as a terminal banking panic, 1932-1933. So we're now in the second wave of the current depression, but you can already see what the third wave, or whatever it's going to be called, the third wave looks like. Banking crash here. Take a look at the bank stocks today, as you say, led by Bank of America with these other places, Genworth, Citibank, look at those European banks I mentioned before, but in particular the U.S. ones and the British ones. Look for something dramatic to happen there. Who is the next Lehman Brothers? Who is the next Bear Stearns? There are lots of candidates. Again, just pick up any website about the bank stocks, and you'll
and
see
the Super Congress has the power to give them more zombie bank bailouts now.
Right. Well, that's the other thing is, why is this happening now? One of the things is the Obama stimulus, rotten as it was, still had some effect. And QE2, rotten as that was, at least propped up the zombie banks and the hedge fund hyenas. Now, the stimulus is over, the QE2 is over, and they're confronted with the fact that we're still in the depression. The other thing is, the Dodd-Frank FinReg was supposed to solve these problems. The Dodd-Frank FinReg from a year ago is an absolute obscene joke. It didn't do anything. Time to go back and have a real FinReg. But,
all right, Webster, thank you. We're going to have you back up in the next few days. I'll have Jaron talk to you right now about
okay. When
is a good time to get you on for a full hour, as we can also take some calls. Nomi Prin's coming up to continue to look at this stock market plunge that's happening right now.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
My friends, I can barely contain myself right now. If you go to drudgereport.com, you can read a detailed report that Paul Joseph Watson put out this morning. It's posted right up in the right-hand breaking news corner of drudgereport.com from Infowars.com. Pollster, Americans are pre-revolutionary. Just 17% believe U.S. government has consent of the governed. Well, they know that you're awake. That's why they just transferred the power to the Super Congress, the Austerity Congress. 12 members with Obama with a veto, a 13-member council. And they've got Pat Cadell, pollster at Rasmussen, other major polls. I don't just believe one poll. We've got a whole index of polls showing the same numbers or worse. Some are as low as 9% approval rating. The results of this survey indicate that Americans are now pre-revolutionary. That's a quote, says pollster Pat Cadell, who described the outcome of the poll as unprecedented. This conclusion follows Cadell's observation last November that a sea of anger is churning amongst Americans who want to take their country back, and that the nation stood on the brink of pre-revolutionary movement. Now, here's the deal. We've got to get the left and the right and libertarians and everybody to go, wait a minute. It's not about Obama the puppet, as much as it's fun to hate him. It's not about the puppet George W. Bush, as much fun as it is to hate him. It looks like a demon, acts like a demon. You got to get past these people to the big mega banks and the derivatives that they got us and Europe to sign on to that we don't owe. Now, look, our $14.5 trillion deficit, easy to deal with. They're trying to tell us it's about pension funds and Social Security. We're a rich country. We're fiscally solvent. And the Svengali trick here is for the bankers to get us to sign on to $1.5 quadrillion, $600 trillion, the Washington Post says is the U.S. share, get us to sign on to this, and then make us think it's all about the $14.5 trillion that we actually have spent. It's a joke. The zombie banks are the problem, and they're going to hold us all hostage. Now, joining us for the next 20 minutes or so is Nomi Prinz, journalist, best-selling author. She's got a new book coming out in October, and we'll have her on. Before becoming a journalist, and Nomi couldn't watch what she was seeing anymore, so she left. She worked on Wall Street as a managing director at Goldman Sachs and running the International Analytics Group at Bear Stearns in London. She was analyzing the big spectrum. So she was piloting a Star Destroyer for these people. And she joins us now, Nomi Prinz, not Naomi, Nomi, N-O-M-I, Prinz.com, links up on Infowars.com. And I want to get her view on the Super Congress, on the hypocritical rating agency. She's got an article out under that title. I want to get her view on where we're going, because from my research, this is a planned implosion, but it's a black hole so giant they've created that it may suck them in with it, like Bank of America plunging in the stock right now. This could be the beginning of a major rout. Could this be bigger than 2008? Nomi, what say you?
Well, we've talked about this, and I continue to say we have never, since 2008, been in any kind of a recovery. This has all been going on and down behind the scenes and also right out in public view. We don't have a handle on all of the assets, all of the toxicity, all of the debt, everything that was created by the banking system in the run-up to 2008's official crisis, and since then, that is still globally dispersed and declining and degrading the global economy as we speak. So there's a couple things going on here, and it's the rating agency coming in and downgrading is one aspect of many things going on. But the bottom line here is that banks created a mess. Banks profited from the mess. And yes, some might go down and some might have their stocks go down, but they made a whole lot of money on the run-up. They can position themselves to short or to not value the securities that are still on their books because the accounting, the Financial Accounting Standards Board says they don't have to, and all sorts of other tricks. Meanwhile, they are floated by the government, by the Federal Reserve, by a whole lot of subsidies that we have no control over, we don't vote for, and that is how they continue to thrive and do what they're doing with no repercussions. We feel the repercussions. And today's mess in the Dow is just one aspect of so many repercussions that we've been feeling and will continue to feel.
Well, very well said, Nomi. So where are we going from here now? From your expert position of research and knowledge, where are we right now?
I think right now we're in the middle of a massive global downfall, and that's because, for one thing, if you don't fix problems, they don't go away. The only group of people who think they might go away if they're not focused on fixing them are the people in Washington. And as you rightly say, it doesn't matter what party they're from. It doesn't matter who selected which Treasury Secretary. It doesn't matter who's even running the Fed. It's a concerted denial of today's problems, definitely, and problems that were emerging. And today's problems and today's debt, for example, the $4 trillion of extra debt that have been created in just the last 2.5 years, as you rightly said, have not been created because we had to save Social Security or because, we're giving too much away to workers and we're helping the labor economy and we're creating jobs. That's obviously clearly not what has been going on with the debt that's been created. And it's interesting. I think one of your listeners sent this to me. I'm not sure. There's a U.S. national debt infographic at the White House's website. The link's on my site. I'll send it to you. But they have $3.6 trillion worth of debt created in the last few years that they label economic and technical changes. It's laughable. And by the way, that doesn't include, we do know that there was a stimulus package. That was an $800 billion package. That's not in that $3.6 trillion, right? The $3.6 trillion is just laughable, general, unaccountable behind it type of moniker for basically saying we gave a lot of stuff to the banks. We printed a lot of money to really flow what was going on. As we talked about on your show last time, the banks, for example, hold $1.6 trillion of Treasury bonds that they basically got from the Treasury, gave to the Fed, receive interest from the Fed, doing absolutely nothing of any kind of productivity for the U.S. economy or any individual in the United States or globally. That's just one number of that $3.6 trillion. That's just $1.6 trillion of it, and it goes on.
Well, look at the big six megabanks, record bonuses, record profits. But at the end of the day, how are they going to operate when their parasite economy has destroyed what's left of the real economy? And I guess they say it's better to reign in hell than serve in heaven, because most of the experts we talk to, Nomi, they say that we've really been in a depressionary spiral for 3 years, and that this is going to deliver us on the course we're on into a real depression, and that they've set up this super Congress to be able to do whatever they want during a crisis. What do you think about the term depression, A, and B, super Congress?
Well, the term depression is definitely viable. I've used it as well. And back in the early part of last century, before World War One, they called the First World War the Great War, right? And then we have the Great Depression. And then by the time we got to World War Two, the Great War became World War One, and we had World War Two. And in that respect, we are in Great Depression too, because we have no way out of where we're at. The fact is the hole is so deep, and it's unfortunate, it's sad, and there could have been things to have been done along the way to have mitigated the problem that were just simply ignored by Washington, by global leaders, by global central banks, because they weren't actually either recognizing or, in fact, they were sustaining the banking system, the private banking system, that was really funneling debt into the economy, toxic debt, high-rated debt that allowed it to be dispersed. So the rating agencies, going back to what's just happened today, were definitely a part of this puzzle. If they didn't rate certain bad debt, certain bad assets, AAA, they wouldn't have been dispersed and sold throughout the global economy, bringing whole cities and municipalities and pension funds down with them. They were labeled wrong, and there's been no accountability for that, and it's the same lack of accountability that's created this downward spiral. Because if what is sustaining municipalities, what's sustaining local towns, if what's sustaining local pension funds, what's sustaining local workers isn't real, then as much as anyone can work, as much as anyone can attempt to find jobs to
that's right. We've invested our whole economy in a planned Ponzi scheme fraud, and now the Ponzi scheme operators are saying, go down with us, let us rule you, or you won't even get 10% of what you invested. And we've got to just decide to cut bait. I want to talk about how we go after these people with you, Naomi Prinz, former managing director at Goldman Sachs, here in just a moment. But first, I wanted to play this clip of Geithner over the weekend saying, hey, the clip was re-aired over the weekend saying 2 months ago, we're not going to lose our AAA rating. Here it is.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Thanks for joining Fox Business.
Good to see you, Peter.
Is there a risk that the United States could lose its AAA credit rating, yes or no?
No risk of that.
No risk.
No risk. Again, if you listen carefully now, you see the leadership of the United States of America, the president.
All right, that's enough. Now, this is the same guy who said there was no danger of even a recession when we've been in a depression. And he's now running around saying that this is the, quote, greatest recession, Naomi.
Yeah, I mean, that comment, I think the rest of that clip says he goes from no chance to absolutely. I think the term was also thrown in there at the end of that clip. I was watching it on television. I think that's the same guy, and it's not even just Tim Geithner. It's what Tim Geithner represents. He just happens to be in a very powerful position to really hurt us. He's the same guy who labeled the $3.6 trillion of extra debt that's been created under the last few years economic and technical changes. It's that same denial, that same, no, we don't have a problem. You know, this debt is just created because we're in a rough spot. You know, we're in a recession. You know, people aren't making as much money. No, it's not the money that's coming in to the Treasury Department. And yes, there can be tax changes. People can, at the top, pay their fair share. Corporations can stop.
No, but the problem is we've been tied into a fake black hole.
Exactly. That's the point. And the way that they've been attempting, they've been actually trying to fix this black hole is to make it blacker and deeper. And that doesn't, that can't end. They're not looking at the problem properly.
Let's look at it properly, Naomi. Sorry to interrupt. Let's look at it properly on the other side. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Yes, the bankers are covering themselves with your stolen tax money while sitting around lecturing the rest of us, and the six big mega banks are using their regulators to come in and shut down local banks that actually serve the community. Naomi Prinz, NaomiPrinz.com is our guest, best-selling author. She's got a new book coming out in October, Black Tuesday, a novel by Naomi Prinz. We'll definitely have her back up for that. She has another article, Ratings Agency Hypocrites, S&P Downgrade Carries a Large Dose of Irony, since the extra debt the U.S. has piled on recently came courtesy of S&P's moronic toxic asset ratings. They could call it moronic, but it did help the banks make trillions of fraudulent dollars and take over society. So is it really moronic, Naomi?
That's a good term. It's certainly diabolical and moronic, or some sort of combination. The S&P, of course, gets paid by these banks to rate the assets they rate. They get paid by size. They get paid by number of deals. So the more bad assets that banks can manufacture, the more money S&P gets. You know, so they don't get money from the U.S. Treasury Department, which might be why they downgraded them. But the point is, they were definitely a part of this entire scheme. They were like the stamp of approval on, you know, if they were in a car manufacturer situation, they'd be stamping an approval on the cars that have no brakes, and they would say, oh, that's fine. So in that respect, they're definitely a part of this entire scheme in a bad way.
And there's a difference between being cunning and being wise. They're definitely cunning, but they are kind of like the farmer who killed the golden goose. In the 4 minutes we have left, Naomi, I've got two questions for you, and I'm going to sit back and give you the floor on these because I really want your perspective. If we don't turn things around and let these people run us into the black hole, what will our future look like, and what do you expect to unfold? Versus what are solutions and ideas you have to extricate ourselves from this emergency?
Well, if we don't turn this around, and it's not looking like Washington at this point has the solutions, and I'll get to those. We are continuing to spiral downward. The assets that were manufactured, the debt that relies on them, not just in the United States, but throughout the globe, can't go away because they are in this situation where banks can cover themselves. They can get central banks to print money. They can act as the go-between and receive debt and get interest on that debt and keep going, because the focus of the central banking system is to allow banks to float as they are. And their stock might go down on any given day, but the bigger banks, because they are so infused in this system, continue to do well and continue to thrive. And don't forget, they can short. They can be on the other side of positions. There's a lot of things that they can do that the average individual can't do. You can't short your life. You know, you can't short your job. Banks can be on either side of a lot of these financial mechanisms, and that's how the bigger ones survive. The more places they are, the more focus and influence they have, the more they survive. And on the flip side of that, the global economy continues to deteriorate because nothing of actual value is being put into it. Trading value, GDP, of which a portion is debt, and the other portion is profits coming off of paper revenues from a banking system or some of the corporations that they sponsor, that's not real productivity. That's not really sustaining an economy. And unless the combination of political leaders and financial banking leaders sees this and actually kind of slaps these banks into place and takes away their ability to infiltrate the financial markets and the whole global economic system in the way that they have, things are going to continue to spiral down. You know, you go back to the crash in 1929, which spawned the first Great Depression. There was a situation then where six banks also controlled a lot and got a lot of support from a different kind of a Fed, but certainly from a different form of a government, and were able to survive. The same six banks survive today in different forms. That's what we're dealing with, a very small group of very influential banks that are everywhere. That will continue to drive the economy down unless there's something in place on the other side. What can be put in place on the other side? Will to slap them into place for number one. Will to break up the banks. Will to break up their hold. Will to break up the amount of leverage and debt they can create on the back of no value and infiltrate throughout the system. More checks on what types of products they are pushing throughout the global system, an awareness on the part of towns and cities and municipalities and pension funds to not buy things they don't understand, to not create a situation where workers who think that they have a stable nest egg, say it, you know, basically drop into their retirement because they can't control what's being put into it, how it's being invested. And I think from the get-go, instead of creating all this debt to float the banking system, what the White House calls economic and technical change debt, that should have been used to really help the job market, to really help people.
Absolutely. Deliver it. Yeah, Bernanke wasn't dropping money out of a helicopter. He was delivering it to the foreign bankers. Nomi Prinz, thank you so much for joining us. Look forward to speaking to you when your book comes out. God bless. We'll be right back with Dr. Steve Pachenik. Stay with us. We are back live in the final stretch here, about 27 minutes left in broadcast time. Then I'm going to have a special PrisonPlanet.tv InfoWars breaking news alert at 7 p.m. tonight in the aftermath of what's happening in the economy. We'll also have text reports out at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. We have the weekly InfoWars Insider that goes out every Wednesday, and then it has exclusive videos in it for those that sign up for the free newsletter at the top of InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. It's very, very simple. It's just a little box there, and you put your email in, and then you get those news alerts. We're going to start very soon sending out 4 or 5 times a week special news blast and exclusive videos directly to folks that sign up for the email. That way, even if they shut down our websites in the future, we'll still have listeners' emails and be able to contact you that way. So again, at the top of InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, you see the InfoWars Insider banner. Just put your email in right there, and we'll see tonight on the radio / TV program from the new studio for an InfoWars special report at 7 p.m. in the aftermath of whatever happens with the stock market. And I'll give you that latest info right before we leave here again in about 27 minutes. Also, this broadcast is possible because of great sponsors like PureWaterFreedom.com. If you want to affordably remove fluoride from your tap water, visit PureWaterFreedom.com. They have a full line of household fluoride filters. You can even remove fluoride from every water source in your home with a whole house fluoride system. They have a wide variety of filters to remove all types of toxins from your water, including shower, bath filters. Their reverse osmosis systems are excellent. Check out the banners on PrisonPlanet.com or InfoWars.com, or simply go to PureWaterFreedom.com. That's PureWaterFreedom.com, one word, to take control of your water supply today. And lastly, let me go to Dr. Pechenik. eFoods Direct is celebrating their 30th anniversary with a great deal. Save 30% on the Freedom Unit one-year food supply. Here's your chance to save $536 plus. They're already low price for a one-year supply of the best storable foods on the planet. This price is even lower than the for the same volume of food that it was when they first started back in 1981. This offer ends soon, so act now. Quantities are limited. Be prepared before you need it. Act now. eFoodsDirect.com, 800-409-5633. Okay, going now to Dr. Steve Pechenik with our audience. Been listening to him now here for 9.5 years since he was first on with us and said that bin Laden had already died and it was all staged. I then had other sources that confirmed that. He then, of course, resurfaced on the show, which we were glad to hear about because I wrote stories about him a few months ago with the May Day, May 1st bin Laden raid. And I got him on today to briefly give us his take on the Navy SEALs, this shoot-down situation, but then get into the state of the economy and the politicians we've got and where he sees this country going, because last time he was on, the interview was over, and he had wanted to get into that, and I want to get his perspective. I talked to him during the break, and I said, what's your view? And you said, well, they fly a lot of missions. It's dangerous. I don't think this is a false flag. And I respect that opinion. My smell test here is that the same unit, from the same unit, a group raiding the bin Laden thing, we know that's totally phony. A lot of us predicted that if it was phony, you'd start seeing people dying in crashes, either where they just tagged their names on to crashes that actually happened, or where they actually kill them in crashes. And you've got the fact that it's the biggest one-day loss of life in this close to 10-year war, and it is the SEALs. The whole thing is very, very suspicious for me, because if they're saying the SEALs were there and gave bin Laden cement shoes and the whole official story turned out to be as phony as a $3 bill, then you've got to then investigate this and ask, were they pulling a Pat Tillman, getting rid of some people that were going to speak out? And we have gotten that unconfirmed scuttlebutt. Dr. Pechenik, good to have you on with us today.
Well, it's a pleasure always to be on. I think at this point, I think one of the things I do work informally with people who are in the special forces, and I have a great respect for them. I've worked with them for some 20 to 30 years, different areas from Panama, the Middle East, all over the world. And I think what your public has to understand, there are times that really the special forces is a very elite unit. I mean, they really are elite in many ways. Their language capacity, their ability to be inserted surgically into an area and be extracted out very quickly has made them very successful. The fact that there are stories that the Osama bin Laden issue was they didn't kill an Osama bin Laden. He was already dead, but the point was there was an extraction done at that area. I said they basically did go in and out. They've been going in and out of Pakistan and Afghanistan for a long while. Now, the issue here is, what is the problem in the United States? Why is it that we have a very hard time understanding what the credibility is of the U.S. military and the U.S. government, and that is because the U.S. government has repeatedly lied to us. In this particular case, you do have individuals who have been killed. They were not killed by the military. They have been killed in assignments. Basically, I can explain to you that the special forces, which is not only consisting of SEALs, they consist of Delta, Rangers, and other units, which I will not go into, really works 365 days a year. I mean, you have to understand what that means. That means that these guys are continuously going in a helicopter. They're going into areas that are exceedingly dangerous and terrain that is very, very difficult both to get into and get out of. And basically, in many ways, they're the only forces that can handle insurgents who really appear and disappear in matters of seconds, of minutes. And they are supported at times with helicopters that are different configurations. In this case, they had to bring in a large number of special forces, some of whom were SEALs. I'm sure the other ones were Rangers in there and other groups that I won't identify, and they were shot down. Now, the credibility of the story lends itself to some questions of, you know, is this possible, is this not possible? But I'll give you an example. Where I live here in South Florida, you have an obituary on a slain Navy SEAL who lived in South Florida. Now, if the military is going to go to the extent of telling you exactly who's slain, which units were involved, that's a lot of credibility they're putting on the line to say to the American public that this is real. Now, it's a tragedy that our men are getting killed, but it's a greater tragedy if the military thinks that they're going to continuously create stories that are not credible. And at this point, I would say, you know, let us lend our credibility to the military and give them the benefit of the doubt. But what this means to the military as they're listening to me is that you have to be very careful of what your narrative is going to be, because there's a major issue that's involved here in terms of the military. And that issue is, because of the timing, I can understand why the American public is questioning this episode. The timing, it seems very serendipitous that it comes right to the degrading of our bond and our ability to pay for military salaries and to pay for the military-industrial complex. That's number one. That would be what we call an S1 question in the intelligence community. That is, why would a story like this come out at this particular point in time when we're not able, the U.S. government, to pay out even for the FAA or Social Security or Medicare? And the answer is, if I were in the military and I wanted to create a narrative, I'm not saying they are doing the narrative, but if I wanted to create a narrative, I would say in the military in Afghanistan and Iraq, if I were that cynical and that Machiavellian, I would say, you know what, we're going to create a crash and we're going to glorify the death of some of our soldiers in order to remind the American public, who's really not behind this war, that we need an allocation of money. And by the way, do not attempt to decrease our budget, which is really directed this episode as a narrative. And I'm not saying that's what they've done, but if that's what I would think of if I were involved in the military and I needed a budget redirection, I would direct this episode really to Congress and to the Senate, because the military has every congressman and senator in their pocket. And they're held hostage right now to a military-industrial complex. And what's happening is that the insurgency doctrine worked for a certain amount of time. When Petraeus developed it, there was nothing new, and Petraeus, General Petraeus, admitted this was not something that was developed suddenly de novo. This has been around for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. We used counterinsurgency in the Revolutionary War. We've used counterinsurgency in Malaysia. We used it in Vietnam. So the doctrine itself has become what we call reified. It's become something of a doctrine that everybody now believes in the military is the only solution to dealing with insurgency. The answer is no. It is not the only solution, and it cannot be the only solution, because as much as we might want to get rid of extremism or terrorism, that's not feasible and it's not possible. As I said years ago, terrorism is a tactic, not a strategy. And what's happening now is we have 3- and 4-star generals who may be invested in maintaining that strategy of counterinsurgency, and they believe that the best way up the career ladder is to basically reify the concept of counterinsurgency. Well, Petraeus was brought over to the CIA. You have generals now who are 3- and 4-stars. But more importantly, what this story has highlighted for me, and in talking to some of the junior officers, that we have a major disconnect between the captains, lieutenants, the majors, and the senior officers. And what do I mean by that? The flag officers, meaning the colonels, the brigadier generals, the major generals, lieutenant generals, are really a serious problem for our military. There's a problem of careerism that's coming in that has made our military very vulnerable to another war. That is, for the first time, we've chosen this war, and we've inculcated and we've put in and placed in soldiers into two different areas, Iraq and Afghanistan. Overall, for from a strategic point of view, the wars have not been successful. In Iraq, we have not built a civil society. It's basically disorganized. Any junior officer will tell you that. In Afghanistan, we have not been able to stop the Taliban. We put in Karzai, who's going to corrupt. He was on the CIA payroll, as I remembered him, was put in by Zalmay Khalilzad, one of the neocons, and it has been totally a failure. So from the point of view of doctrinal military doctrine, this has not worked. And basically, the only solution to this is to have a strong enough president, which unfortunately we do not have, and a strong enough Secretary of State to withdraw the entire military from Iraq and Afghanistan, because we have much greater issues that are involved here. Right now, we're involved in Mexico. Fortunately, the CIA and the Special Forces, they made a public announcement, are going into Mexico and private contractors to deal with the narcotics problem, which is on our southern border. We have another major issue, and that is the expansion of the Soviet Union and the proxies, as well as China. So we have to be prepared at the level of the junior levels, the captains, the majors, the lieutenants, to be able to afford them a military structure which is not based on careerism, but is based on their dedication to honor, glory in our country. And that's not happening. Many of our junior officers are leaving the military because they don't see an upward path to a career where they can be reimbursed for the courage and the dedication they've given to
Dr. Pechenik, that's my next...
Let me just get one sentence further. The careerism leads into the military-industrial complex. That is, we've got 3- and 4-star generals who are serving in public companies and private companies, which are making an absolute fortune, which are creating a burden on our budget. And the congressmen and senators are afraid to take down this military-industrial complex. As President Eisenhower warned us, this complex has been completely consolidated to cost us hundreds of billions of dollars
and
does not increase our security factor.
Well, I'm sorry. Sure. But I mean, that's my point. I wanted to ask you, where is it all going when the generals and colonels reportedly are in these lavish pleasure rooms, you know, on their private, you know, fancy military jets, and then the rest of the troops now are you know, flying on planes with broken toilets and fleas all over it. I mean, I'm sure you've seen the reports where everything's rotting, where they're taking the death benefits of troops. I mean, there's an attitude by the ruling class in America that this country isn't going to be here soon, so just get everything you can. We've always had corruption, but now it is a psychopathic, short-term, almost nihilistic craziness. You know, it's not even a calculating corruption. It's just a wild fiddle while Rome burns. I want you to comment on that, and then where you see this country going if there isn't a reversal of this.
Going into where we are right now in free fall and entropy. And the basic issue is what you said. Let me go back to the military. What this highlighted was the fact that the retired generals and admirals get hired back as mentors, consultants to SAIC, to DynaCorp, to all the 128 bandits for monies that are absolutely exorbitant. I mean, there's one general I know of who makes $920,000 as a consultant to the a company, then makes another $160,000 as a mentor, which means that they are basically teaching our military what should or shouldn't be done, and then gets other benefits of pensions. So basically, we have to break this up. Who is we? It's Congress and the Senate. They're not strong enough to do it. The president is not strong enough to do it. It has to come from the people, through the media, social media, through organizations, to say, look, more money to the military now does not mean better security. What's happening now is our junior officers are very dissatisfied with our senior leadership. And one of the things that we did not do after the Vietnam War. What we did do while I was in the Vietnam War and other wars is that we got rid of the incompetent battalion and brigade commanders, and we literally got rid of them. One of my jobs was to come in and see who was effective and who was not. If they weren't effective at the brigade and battalion level, they were thrown out. That's not happening. They're going up to 3- and 4-star levels, where in fact it's hurting us very seriously in terms of recruiting our junior officers and keeping them there. And we have a sociopathy that's built into the military now, where they need to maintain their pensions and lavish lifestyles. You said, how do we stop that? This president is not strong enough to stop it. Number one, he's never served in the military. Number two, he really is intimidated by our generals in the military-industrial complex. And three, he's supported by it. Who's strong enough? Well, the only people who could be strong enough is somebody similar to an Eisenhower, who had been commander-in-chief of our armed forces, understood our military, understood their wily ways and how they build up the military-industrial complex. We don't have that. If you look at the field right now in Republicans, there's a great article today in the New York Times, which I don't often tout, but I know the gentleman, Mr. Huntsman, Ambassador Huntsman, who claims that he can run our country and knows how to do it. He's a Mormon, happens to be a Mormon, was the governor in Utah, a nice man, very quiet. He wants civility, but in fact, he's not very competent. He was my ambassador when I was in Singapore. I was involved in the Khmer Rouge and creating an agreement and taking down the forces in Cambodia. I would say he was really not effective as our ambassador in Singapore. Then his father got him into a job with Reagan and then got him a job in China and Taiwan. I'm sure he donated money.
Dr. Pechenik, we got a break. We're going to come right back with Dr. Pechenik on the other side, where he's getting into these different presidential candidates. Stay with us, and then we'll be back tonight, 7 o'clock. As I said, folks, I'll be back tonight, 7 o'clock at PrisonPlanet.tv in the new studio. It's an InfoWars special report, not the nightly news report, but a special report on the aftermath of the stock market plunging. Dr. Pechenik, we'll obviously have you back up to take calls in the next few weeks and get into more details. But what are you getting at with these Republican candidates? I mean, you're saying that none of them are that good. Ron Paul's talked about bringing the troops home from the wars, but I guess you think he's doesn't have what it takes?
Well, no, I think Ron Paul, with all due respect, he's a physician. He's been there 20 years in Congress. I mean, he's talking about libertarian theories, but he's receiving a paycheck every week. You know, basically, he lives a lifestyle that contradicts his own statements. What I really were looking for, I'm looking for a leader who's coming forth that's not present in the Republican ticket. It's not possible. And I'm addressing this to Fred Malik and Roger Ailes and those who make the determination. And I'm saying to Fred Malik, get rid of Huntsman, get rid of Romney, get rid of the rest of the ticket. I think you should think seriously about recruiting Jeb Bush, who's a serious governor, unlike his brother. He's a contemplative man. He's had experience. He's been in business. I'm not pushing forth the Bush family, but I think of all the elements there, Jeb is most like his father, Bush Sr. The other one that I would think of is Petraeus. I think that he has to seriously think about the possibility of running for president, because right now we have a lacuna of leadership. It's going to get worse. It's compounding worse. You have a president now, Obama, who's willing to cut back on Medicare but has no second thoughts about raising $34,000 within minutes of the time he tells the country that we have to sacrifice, but he's not sacrificing in order to for his own reelection.
Yeah, but I mean, Doc, come on. I mean, Jeb Bush, obviously not as disingenuous or demonic looking as his brother. George Herbert Walker Bush, I know you worked under him and respect him, but this is all part of the same old political guard that has helped bring America to this point. I mean, you start getting off into a Petraeus or something. I don't know enough about him. I mean, obviously, Ron Paul has been there fighting in Washington and standing on his principles. And he's been right, you know, politically on what he's called for. And I know he's turned down pay increases and things. We'll have to have you back to debate this. But, I mean, I guess you know Jeb Bush. You like him?
What I'm trying to say is we can can break the system and we can change it. But right now, the only one who's not in that system and that's within the military-industrial complex and understands it and can do something about it may be Petraeus. But all I'm saying is right now that we are desperate and we need leadership. The Republican ticket is not a viable ticket. It's wasting time, money, and it's wasting the credibility of a party that right now is basically fragmented. The Tea Party was a good attempt. I think its intents are real. I don't disagree. Listen, every politician is basically disingenuous. By the very nature of politics, you have to be egregious. You have to, as Napoleon once said, you have to climb the sneaky ladder of success and be polite and be affable. And then once you get to the top, you're basically ruthless and authoritarian. That's the nature of the political system and authoritarian. Unless we break up the entire government and get rid of 560 representatives, I don't have a problem with that, and devolve the power away from the presidency. But we're not ready for that, Alex.
By the way, now we've got this now we've got this creepy super Congress. Steve Pachinik, the website, stevepachinik.com. Doc, thanks for coming on with us to give us your perspective on the Navy SEAL situation and the politicians. And we'll have you back up again to continue to give us your perspective. Thank you so much. Like I said, I'll be back tonight, 7 o'clock, prisonplanet.tv. We're reworking the site, about to launch some new pages and formats very soon. That'll be right up there on the front page of prisonplanet.tv. And some big new reports at Infowars.com. Bankers launch next leg of planned economic collapse.